Welcome back, everyone, for this week's Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This week, we are covering Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 30, from August the 22nd of 1992. We are still in Avery County High School in Newland, North Carolina. This week, it is only myself and Doc Turner. Hardbody Harper is, I don't know if I want to say, he's predisposed or something. He's a little tied up. He sound like he had a bit of a woman issue going on, so we'll leave it at that. But it's Mike, it's Doc. Doc, how you doing, man?
I got to tell you, I was doing great. I was excited. I got up this morning. I was ready to talk Smoky Mountain, and then I heard your voice, and it killed it all. So let's get started.
I hear you. Well, you can go blow yourself, too, if you'd like. So let's jump into things real quick. But before I do so, I do want to say thank you to Joe Stassi from Old School Pro Wrestling Lives Facebook page. Joe, we appreciate you sharing the show and helping us build this thing. I can't tell you enough. You know, we don't have a big advertising budget, so word of mouth is how we spread the word. So we thank you very much for your support. You know, he's got the ICW page as well, along with the Bruiser Brody page. So check out those pages on Facebook. Go join them and become a member of their community and their old school photos that they post each and every single day. I also want to say thank you to William Shepherd, very new patron member, for his patron membership. He is the largest patron to date. Thank you, William. We appreciate it, man. You've been a supporter of the show for a long time.
Maybe he should go on a diet.
No, maybe he's going to be able to cut a promo on you where you have to sit down, eat shit, and enjoy it. That's how large of a patron membership that he has signed up for. So, William Shepherd, thank you. Also, thank you to all the patrons, and we'll talk about that more later in the show. As for now, let's jump into things. Doc, are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. You got anything you want to add this week before we get started in the opening comments from Dutch and Bob Cottle?
From the opening comments?
No, I mean before that. I mean, anything you wanted to mention before we, you know, jump into today's episode?
I think the good people in the BTT Army are here to hear about Smoky Mountain and not whatever bullshit you're trying to elicit from me.
Okay. Well, so let's jump into things. We got the normal setting of the table, which is like we do each and every week. We got Dutch and Bob Cottle, and they set the table for us. And Dutch said his guest this week on Down and Dirty will be the new Smoky Mountain Wrestling heavyweight champ, the Dirty White Boy. Dutch also mentions how he will be using the Olympic scoring system during today's event. Now, just a side note, this was right after the 1992 Barcelona Olympics, which to me will always be remembered for the Dream Team. Doc, you got any thoughts on the opening segment?
Was it just me, or did Dutch look like he had already wrestled a match? He looked like his hair was wet, and he was kind of disheveled there, and just, you know, he did wrestle still from time to time on some of these cards, so it's possible.
Well, I don't know if it's that. I actually was going to talk about this later when we get to Ronnie Garvin and Paul Orndorff, because Ronnie Garvin is sweating just profusely. And first thing I thought was, man, God, man, he's really working up a sweat. But then I thought back, this is 1992. I'm willing to bet it's August when this is being taped. It was probably pretty damn hot, almost sportatorium type hot in that building. And there was no AC in that building. So I got a feeling that may be what you were seeing from Dutch, as he looked like he had just worked a match. It was just hot on that set and in that building. You know what I mean?
I have that note in when we get to next week's show, that very same note about it must be 150 in that
Dude,
gym.
It looks like it's 115 degrees in there, and I'm not exaggerating. I'm not.
Higher than Buddy Landale's fever.
There you go. So let's get into things. We go first to the first match on the card. It's Mike Sampson versus Tim Horner. I hate to say this, but Horner gets a really, really hot reaction from the crowd. I mean, there can't be but 200 to 300 people in attendance, but they are loud and obnoxious. Maybe not obnoxious, but they are loud and boisterous. Doc, what did you think of that reaction that Horner got?
Well, he's just, you know, he's one of them, man. He's a hillbilly trying to, you know, get his way in the world. I don't know. I don't think that you should go around trusting that the hillbillies have the right opinion of things. I mean,
okay, there you go, insulting the hillbillies again.
Well,
that's
how you
insult the good people of the Smoky Mountains. You can't fucking help yourself, can you?
That's how you end up with the Cheeto twat waffle in the Oval Office.
There you go, playing heel, just always doing your heel shtick. But anyway, God, don't listen to him. He's just trying to insult you because he's trying to get a rise out of people. Bob Caudle starts talking about how Tim Horner feels like he deserves a shot at the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Heavyweight title. Dutch says, yeah, well, Charles Manson says he should be released from prison. That don't mean he's right. And I got to say, Doc, Dutch has a solid point there. Wouldn't
he
you
sure
agree?
Does. He sure does.
I came unglued when Dutch said that. I was like, well, Dutch, I kind of think I might have to agree with you there. As the match proceeds, Dutch breaks out his first score of the match after a move that Tim Horner pulls off, where Dutch gives Horner a low score of 2.3. Shocking, Dutch gives Horner a low score. Samson gets a decent amount of offense in this quick match before Horner finally turns things around and gets the slow natural bridge. You know, I'm not entertained, but the fans sure seem to love when White Lightning Tim Horner gets the win. And I just want to say before I throw it to you, Doc, the natural bridge was the drizzling shits in this match. It was pathetic, but I will let you at this point chime in.
I
You're speechless. That's how bad it was.
Me and the good people of the Smoky Mountain Territory are not going to agree on this, so I don't know how much in depth you want me to go on this. But, you know, the good thing is that directly after we get to see a slow bridge, we get to hear from Tim Horner. So that's always a plus too, right?
Yeah, yeah, we get to hear from Tim Horner. But I want to say this. You'd be surprised. Some of the good people in the Smoky Mountains that you know, tweet at us all the time, like Riley Onwine, some of the others, they are realistic when it comes to Tim Horner. At least I believe they are when we're communicating on Twitter. So, yeah, just want to put that out there. So, yes, we go to a promo with Tim Horner. And, you know, let's cue this puppy up and see what White Lightning has to say.
Hey, Tim, that's a great event and a great thing on your part to do that. And I'm sure all of the fans like I appreciate that very much. Let's get back right now, though, to talking about wrestling. And I, too, think you deserve a shot at the champion.
Well, that's right, Bob. You know, that's all I'm asking for. I'm not asking for a whole lot, just a chance at the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight title. I can't get a hold of the Dirty White Boy because I guess he don't have a phone. And it's obviously Ron Wright's doing his booking and matchmaking for him. So he obviously don't want to give me a chance. But like I said, Bob, all I want is a chance. I want a chance to prove to the people and to myself that I can represent East Tennessee, Eastern Kentucky, North Carolina, South Carolina, wherever Smoky Mountain Wrestling goes. Those people are my people, and I think I can represent them well as Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion.
And, Tim, obviously, I think the fans feel the same way about it. Commissioner Bob Armstrong, Commissioner.
I just wanted to show everybody.
What the heck is that?
Right, this is a wanted poster. I found this is on walls on both dressing rooms for the last 2 weeks. The walls have been covered. What it is a wanted poster for Brian Lee, and I just want to read instead of telling everybody. Let me read what it says. $10,000 in cash will be paid to the man who injures Brian Lee to the extent that he is unable to continue to compete in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. This offer is valid until the deed is done. This is trash. We don't need anything like this in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I want to tell you, Brian, I'm glad you came out here. I'm going to do my best to find out who's at the bottom of this, and I'll do my best to take care of it for you, son.
And I'm going to be right there with you, Bob. I'll tell you what. You know what a man would do for $10,000? I don't know who's at the bottom of this. $10,000 is a lot of money. Not only do I have to worry about getting my title back from White Boy that he stole, I have to worry about men hitting the ring. I have to worry about them hitting me with boards. I have to worry about them bringing a gun to the ring. Obviously, someone in Smoky Mountain Wrestling is scared of me. But I'll tell you what, boys, and this goes for everyone in the dressing room. If you want some of prime time, I'm not hard to find. I'm not hiding. I'll stand right in your face. And if you want some of me, you better bring a lunch because it's going to be a long day.
From prime time, Brian Lee, fans.
All right, Doc, I'll let you weigh in first on the first portion of it with Tim Horner, at least. Let's hear what you got to say.
Well, there's a lot to unpack there throughout the whole thing. So we're going to get to Horner. Oh, Horner's another hillbilly that the man is keeping him down, and he's, you know, they're out to get him, and I can't get a title shot. What about this? How about they looked at your credentials and said, you don't qualify for a title shot, you jackass?
Oh, God damn. Being a little harsh on Tim there,
they
aren't
said,
you?
Get the fuck out. You know what, though? He did utter a true line, the truest line he's ever said in one of his promos through 30 episodes now, when he said he could represent the people of East Tennessee well.
Yeah, well, yeah, he could.
That's you know, Harper always says this. So when all you hillbillies out there, that's your people.
Well, I'm not too down on Tim Horner's promo. I'm just glad we didn't hear the words "I quit" again from him.
What do you think that they were like, finally, this is the time, 30 episodes in, where they're like, God, this is awful. Go cut him off. And they sent Bob Armstrong out there.
I think
Tim Horner was listening to this show and was like, I don't like the fact that Doc got me out of the doghouse and put Dixie Dynamite in there. I'm going to get back in there. Watch. Okay. Hold my beer.
No, this promo wasn't too bad. You got to give him credit for talking about being there for the people. I mean, that's a good way for a face to get over. You know, tell the people you're there for them. You're fighting for them. He worked that really good. So that part was fine. I was actually okay with the Horner promo as far as the emotion goes. The substance of it with deserving a title shot. Fuck me.
Well, how much did you pop when the wanted poster was?
Now that, as you lead into that, so Bullet Bob enters the scene and he displays this wanted poster. And let me tell you what made me pop more than anything. Bob Cottle's reaction, what the heck is that? Like this old man that is appalled.
Evidence.
And is completely just appalled at the fact that there's a wanted poster in the Smoky Mountain locker room. That had me fly off the handle. I was laughing my ass off at that point. So that was great. And then, you know, look, Primetime Brian Lee, I'll throw it to you in a minute, but, you know, he says there's a $10,000 hit on him. It's a lot of money. Then he says he's got to worry about, you know, someone bringing a gun into the ring. I don't know. He showed some fire. I thought that was a good promo from Primetime Brian Lee. I like this new angle with the wanted poster. It just kind of leaves some things to be wondering about. We already know there's a, you know, a mystery man that's out, you know, so is he the one with the wanted poster? Is it someone else? Hey, it leaves some intrigue. There's some episodic program going on here. We're going to find out. Eventually we'll find out who it is, but for now it's like, wait, what's going on, man? We got a personal issue here. We're getting an emotional investment. What did you think, Doc?
I'm rich, and I don't want to say what I would do for $10,000 in 2017. So in 1992, I don't want to say what I would have done back then for $10,000 because I wasn't rich. But I, you know,
$10,000 is a lot today. Much less in 92.
I liked Primetime here. I thought he did a good job, and I mean, I think he's conveying this. My thing is you got this guy. I did a little bit of looking. The mystery man's name in other territories or was called the Mongolian Mauler.
Okay, and, thanks, Doc, for spoiling it for the people.
Well, so anyway,
I guess that really doesn't tell you anything. It just gives a name to the person. Go ahead.
The guy, not the mystery man who's put the 10,000 up. The guy who keeps in the ring.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
That dude's supposed to be crazy and bizarre. Yet I can see him in there trying to like make sure that hanging up a poster in the locker room, trying to make sure that it's all square and like it's all even and it's hanging straight. And he's got his little tape out. And he's holding it. Anyway, I didn't like the idea of them talking about bringing guns to the ring because I don't like giving these hillbillies any ideas.
Well,
so.
that actually comes up quite a few times in Smoky Mountain. That's not the first time. So, you know, that just chalk that up to something that you'll hear on today's programming that you would hear in that year versus something you'll never hear in today's programming. You know, we're not going to talk about stuff like that. Whatever. I don't care. Hey, man, it's fucking wrestling. It's wrestling. Southern wrestling. Let it go. Whatever. All right, next segment, we got the Heavenly Bodies and the Fantastics. It's a promo, and we're going to play it here because the Heavenly Bodies want a chance at the tag titles. They want a chance to go to face the Fantastics. So let's play it here.
All right, guys, I got to ask you one question. I've taken the step of doing something I haven't done in a long time. I've called home. I've asked Mama for cash. She's putting up $10,000 that says we can take the Fantastics. Now, I'm asking you, can I put my faith in you that her $10,000 is going to be safe?
Jimmy, we'd kick their cans for free, but the fact that your dear, sweet mother put that money up is even more incentive for us to kick their butts, right, Tom?
They don't have nothing to worry about, Jimmy. We're not only going to take your mom's money and not do nothing with it, we want our belts back.
Okay, you cowards, that's the story. $10,000 on the line, brother. We're putting it up. Give us a title match.
Jim Cornette and Heavenly Bodies, you talk about a rematch. Well, I tell you what. Not too long ago, you injured my knee. You put the Fantastics out for a while, and you made us wait.
Now we're going to make you wait.
That's right, Cornette. We said it. You offered $10,000. Well, let me tell you something. I understand that your mama made a long-distance call down to you. She said she'd be willing to work the streets of Louisville, Kentucky, just to get those tag team belts around your men. Well, let me tell you something, Cornette. This is from the Fantastics to the Heavenly Bodies, and especially you, Jim Cornette. No dice. Not for $10,000. Hey, Jackie, they're pretty desperate. Maybe they'll offer more.
All right, Doc, what you think, man?
So Bobby Fulton is an extortionist.
I wouldn't call it that, but why do you position him as an extortionist?
I guess in today's business landscape, that's called master negotiator because they're holding out for more money. But
yeah,
man, Mama Cornette's coming to the rescue, but I don't know what she's having to do to get that money if I believe Bobby Fulton. Come on now.
Well, that's the second time Bobby Fulton has said that about his mother. Remember the promo before the very first tag title match?
Well, I thought it was Cornette that said that about Fulton's mom.
Maybe it was. You're right.
Everybody's mom's a whore. That's right. What we're trying to say.
Right. We're calling people's mothers a whore on TV nowadays. I thought it was funny, man. It kills me, though, because they lean into the fact that, you know, Cornette's mother's got some money. Here's 10 grand. We want a match. And I like Stan Lane here. Your dear, sweet mother. You know, he's
we
like
kicked their cans for free. Boy, right. Stan was fired up there.
Yes,
I
Stan
have
was
no,
fired
if
up.
You go back and listen, I have no idea what Tom – I've listened to that three times. I don't know what Dr. Tom was trying to say there.
I don't
know
either.
Going to take her money and not do nothing with it. I was like, hold on. Wait a minute. I can't.
Yeah, and I don't know. Stan Lane was the good part of the promo there, though.
Well, that's the great thing about the Heavenly Bodies is that when you have three guys that can talk, you got all the bases covered.
Oh, yeah, you definitely do. So we'll see what happens. The Fantastics are saying no. They're going to hold out for more money. That story will develop further in the coming weeks, and we'll see what happens. As for now, we go to the next match. Well, Doc, you got anything else before we go to the next match?
I think it's time to go to the next match.
Next match is Nitro, Danny Davis, and Tommy Angel versus the Heavenly Bodies. Davis and Angel are a weird combo, but whatever. You know, I mean, you need to put some guys out there who can, you know, put the Heavenly Bodies over. Cornette is still working the angle that Stan's ear is messed up. He's telling the fans to keep the noise down, which, of course, only means they'll turn up the volume to make sure Stan's ear hurts more. Bob Cottle, he's not buying this shit and says in so many words that this is bull crap. Dutch, during the match, also claims that he thinks the Fantastics are the ones with the $10,000 hit out on primetime Brian Lee. Cottle then replies to Dutch and says, no, the Fantastics are clean-cut boys. Then Dutch says if the Fantastics showed up to date my sister, I'd shoot them with a shotgun. A doc! I just want to stop there before I tell everybody what happens at the end of the match. Here we go again with a gun reference, but go ahead. Any thoughts?
Well, Tommy Angel cut his mullet.
Yeah, he did. He did. He's got more of a very short haircut.
I thought maybe wrestling's on the side and he has a straight job and they were like, look, dude.
That mullet ain't working for us.
You got to cut that shit off if you're going to stay employed here. And then he's like, oh, shit. Well, Corny's not paying me enough to pay the rent, so.
Right.
Fuck. I guess I'll cut it off. Yeah. Now I'm a grown up.
Right. Okay. So be it.
I also thought that Tommy Angel was a heel, so his tagging with Nitro, you said it's a weird combo. I thought he had been a heel, so maybe we had the big Tommy Angel babyface turn and we missed it. But that's okay.
I see it, but he's kind of flip-flopping. He's playing the role of enhancement talent in a jobber. He's kind of flip-flopping from side to side depending on who they need him to go in there with. So it is what it is. I mean, he's an enhancement talent.
But we try to give them some love in this, too, as we go in-depth on the promotion. Stan selling the ear is fantastic. He's just really – it's really awesome. It's such cheap heat, but it's so effective and really, really great. And – I especially loved Cottle's reaction when he loses it when Dutch gives Stan a 9.8. Cottle just couldn't believe it. I thought that just fantastic moment. Those two guys have really gelled in the last couple of months. Not that they were good from Jump Street, but I mean they've really kind of honed their partnership. Someday maybe you and I can do that. That was it. I mean,
they're really. those two are really good in this episode. There's actually a few moments, like, you know, where they're going back and forth. There's another one later on in this one, and I think it's this episode, or maybe it's next week, where those two are just gelling. They really got it going on. Bob Cottle starts punching back at Dutch, and it's funny what he does. But you're right. In this episode, he says, Stan does a neck breaker at one point, and Dutch gives it a 9.8. It gives Stan a 9.8, and Bob Cottle loses his shit. It's not a long match. The Heavenly Bodies, they hit their finisher on Tommy Angel. Big shocker, Tommy Angel takes it, and the Heavenly Bodies get the win. Any other thoughts, Doc, before we move to the next segment?
Mm-mm.
All right, so we go to the next segment. It's a Phil Rainey promo. You know, he's got a couple of guys here, the Rock and Roll Express for one, and I usually kind of save these for the end, but it's the Rock and Roll, and I think you would enjoy hearing it as we cover it chronologically in today's episode. So hold on one second, and we'll get it started.
Wrestling fans in Beckley, get ready, because Smoky Mountain Wrestling is heading your way to the Raleigh County Armory on Sunday, September the 6th, at a special time, noted 7 p.m. The Bratton Twins will be on this big wrestling card. Also, a return match. Two referees, Paul Orndorff and Ronnie Garvin. A six-man grudge tag match. The Heavenly Bodies and Killer Kyle take on Brian Lee, Tim Horner, and Dixie Dynamite. In a stretcher match, one man must be carried out. It'll be the Rock and Roll Express taking on Robert Fuller and Jimmy Gold in the Stud Stable.
You know, Phil, Rick, and I'd like to thank all the fans out there, the ones that's been with us from the beginning and the ones that are here now, especially the ones that hold up the signs that say Rock and Roll Express is back on track. Let me tell you something, Jimmy Gold and Robert Fuller, this time it's a stretcher match, boy. You better be ready to come for a fight.
You know, Robert, I can say to you and I can say to all the nice fans, I know I made a lot of mistakes in my life. But one mistake that the Stud Stable's made is to jump the Rock and Roll Express. You see, we had you in several different matches, and we won every one of them. But when the match was over, brother, you had to jump us from behind. But you see, this time right here in Beckley, West Virginia, it's going to be just a little bit different. You see, the match is not over until somebody's carried out in a stretcher. I mean, feet first, brother, and it's not going to stop right there. We don't care what it takes, Stud Stable. We're going to do away from you, because we've been down many, many highways, and every road we took led us to the top. And all those nice fans out there in Beckley, West Virginia, know that. They know that the Rock and Roll Express is here to stay. We're not here to play. Robert Fuller, Jimmy Golden, baby, you bring all you got. Come on down there, be big and bad. But remember one thing, you can always be had by the hands of the Rock and Roll Express. We've been there before, and we're going there again. And we'd like to say one more thing. I'd like to thank all the nice fans out there in Beckley, West Virginia, that stood behind us through thick and thin. But brother, Rock and Roll Express is going to be there again. We'll see you, Jimmy Golden, Robert Fuller, right here in Beckley, West Virginia.
Don't forget, wrestling fans, the date, September the 6th. You'll want to be at the Raleigh County Armory for this big wrestling match. And also, the big card, it's getting bigger all the time. So you'll want to be in Beckley, the Raleigh County Armory. Bell time,
boys.
8 o'clock. You'll want to be there, wrestling fans.
You know, Doc, I know that's just like a promo trying to get people to come into the building and see the event live, and you know, many people gloss over it, but hey, damn, Ricky Morton's a good promo.
I'm getting ready to dissect the fuck out of it, so I don't know what you're talking about. Finally, we have a baby face that can cut a fucking promo, because let me tell you something, he said some really corny shit like, we're here to stay, we ain't here to play.
Right.
And brilliant touch is calling the fans the nice fans. That's a Southern thing right there. And here's the thing. Morton could have cut, we're going to be jibbing and socializing, and gotten away with it because it's the delivery. If you to me, when I hear Horner, when you play these things and I don't see it, Horner sounds like he's reading his promo from a page. Morton sounds like right there that they say, he walked into the set and they go, okay, and he goes, where are we going? Beckley. What's the step? Stretcher. Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
And he just lets fly. And yeah. Horner, when you listen to him on these, sounds like he's got it, all the words written out on a piece of paper, and he's reading them, and he's kind of struggling to read them. So they could have, you could have gone back and take that Tim Horner promo and Morton's promo and swapped the words, and it still would have been great from Morton and terrible from Horner.
Well, it's Morton's delivery.
I mean, That's right. He's got a rap. He knows how to have. He's got inflection in his voice. He's got the timing down. He's got the diction down. He's talking your ass in the building. And if he might just pass the fucking collection plate while you're there.
Well, he's the believability from Ricky is what does it too. It's
don't bring your girl either. He might fuck her.
Damn, Doc. All right. Well, I can't add anything. I mean, it's.
Am I wrong there?
No, it's a simple promo, but he's like leaning on it. He's like getting the fans into the building. You got to pay attention. He's looking for a fight for one. And we poke fun at Horner all the time, and it's not that we hate him, but when you stack up Ricky Morton's babyface promos against Horner's and how Ricky really, really, it's like he believes what he says, and he does believe it, I'm sure, but he also has the right cadence and the right inflection, and it's just on point. And here's the thing, the reason I'm stressing it so much is because you listen to this promo. If I just were to play this promo for someone, they'll go, ah, okay, yeah, it's a regular little promo.
Read the transcript. It's not that great.
Right. But when you put his voice on it, it makes all you right. want to go into the building and see this fight that they're going
to
have.
What time should I pick you up so we can get over to the building early and get a good seat?
There you go. There you
hey,
go.
Is it just me, or do they go to Beckley, West Virginia a bunch?
Well, I think it was Riley Armwine on Twitter, or maybe someone else. So if I'm getting this wrong, don't hate me for it. Someone was telling me that the copies that we have that we're viewing was from that region. So we're
getting local promos. I got
yeah,
you.
Yeah. We're not getting what was seen everywhere, because we. And I even forget that sometimes, and now that we're in a national environment where even with ROH, when you're watching an ROH show, they're gonna show promos that are being shown everywhere. It's not like in WWE, it's not like you're getting a local promo like you got back then. So
sure.
that's we're getting the local stuff from that. So that's why they're always in the Raleigh County Armory when they're cutting these promos on these. So yeah, it makes sense. I've caught that too, but it makes a lot of sense. All right, we go to the next match. It's Paul Lee or we go to a promo. It's Paul Lee and Buddy Landell. I'm going to play it. It's a quick one. We'll play it for you so that you can – I just pay attention to Bob Caudle here. That's all I want to say.
All right, fans, we'll be right now. Paul Lee, the Nature Boy, Buddy Landell. Buddy.
You know, I'd just like to say something. This Paul Lee right here, I've been noticing this guy's very talented, very underrated. I'm going to take you under my wing. Paul Lee, who is the greatest wrestler of all time?
The Nature Boy.
And who is the Nature Boy?
You, Buddy Landell.
You know, Paul, I can see a lot of potential in you. You know what? I'm going to use you. I mean, I'm going to put your talent to use. We're getting ready to kick the Rock and Roll Express. How does that sound?
Great. Thank you.
I tell you, if they're going to kick it, I got to see it, and you fans will too. So right now, let's go to the ring.
Doc, did you see the look on Bob Caudle's face when Buddy Landell said, I'm going to use you?
Bob Caudle said, if y'all going to kick it, I want to see it too. Jeez.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought that was funny because Paul Lee, we poked fun at him, but I thought he was really good in this segment. And then, spoiler alert, if you're enjoying Buddy right now.
The sum total of my notes for this segment was, I'm going to miss Buddy.
Yeah. You know, I was reading a PW Torch article from when he left, and it's funny because I sent you that PW Torch article from when this was airing and after Fire on the Mountain. And so Buddy Landell did sing a rendition of Moon River every time, or when Tim Horner had him in his submission hold for the I Quit match. But also Buddy evidently was making jokes and stuff the entire match whenever Horner got him into a hold. But there was also an issue of the PW Torch where it states that Buddy left due to creative reasons and not because of, you know, what Cornette has now told us while he left, which was fucking over Tim Horner in the I Quit match and making fun every time he was in a submission hold. Anyway, just wanted to point that out. But yes, you're right. If you like Buddy, he'll be back, just not next week or maybe the week after. It's going to be a little while.
Not next year or the year after that.
We'll leave it at that at this point in time. All right, Doc, we go to – you got anything else from that promo?
Let's go to Buddy's last match.
All right, so we go to the match, and it's the Rock and Roll Express versus Paul Lee and Buddy Landell. Now, pay attention when you're watching this. This is a 200, 300 people in this audience, but that reaction in that small gym when the rock and roll music hits and they enter the building is tremendous. And it's, like I said, it's not a huge building. This is a small gymnasium. Doc, did you agree with that?
Once again, as I say often about the rock and roll, that's what over sounds like.
Yeah, close your eyes and
a blind man could hear that.
Absolutely, absolutely true. Fuller comes out on commentary during the match, Robert Fuller, that is, from the stud stable, and he tells Dutch that he needs to join the Olympic scoring team because Dutch does such a good job giving the ratings during the match. At one point, Dutch gives the Rock and Roll Express a 2.7 for their match in the performance in the match so far, I should say. Now, this is not some five-star match, but this crowd will not shut up. The R&R, the rock and roll chants are throughout. Rock and roll, rock and roll. And this is, again, I repeat, not a five-star match. It's just a short TV match. I don't think Buddy ever gets into the ring. Paul Lee gets his ass kicked the whole time, and the rock and roll end up hitting the double drop kick on Paul Lee and get the win. Doc, what are your thoughts on the match?
Well, I'm not here to apply some grading system that says what moveset got done. I liked everything that I saw out here for the couple of minutes it happened. I thought Buddy screwing over Paul Lee was awesome. I thought the rock and roll being over is awesome and their ability to be the rock and roll. I thought Fuller was fantastic on commentary with Dutch. Just the whole few minutes was entertaining. By the way, just a little note here I did, because we do this every once in a while. Ricky Morton's 35 here.
Wow.
He's about to turn 36. So we talk about, well, the best days of the rock and roll are behind him here. Bullshit. AJ Styles is older right now than Ricky Morton was right there.
Yeah, I think that's one of those things where you're just you and I remember those guys from our childhood. So we feel like we were so young, and because we were so young, they seemed so much older when in actuality, they weren't as old as what they appeared to us. We were just very, very, very young. I mean, Ricky Morton at 35 is still that's young by wrestling terms, to me at least. I mean, you got people who are in their prime at that point in time. And you know what's sad is a guy like Ricky Morton or even Robert Gibson, because he's, I guess, 35 in 92, they just missed, if they were maybe 30 at that point, the point of where they would have made that great money in the Monday Night Wars. Like, to me, missed it.
They would have had to do it down south because fucking Vince didn't even know which one of them was which.
Yeah, let's not get started on that shit. But, so, I don't know. Anything else before I go to the next segment, Doc?
No, sir.
We go to the next segment, which is Down and Dirty with Dutch Mantel, and it is the Dirty White Boy with Ron Wright, and once again, not trying to oversell it, loved it, and here we go. We're going to play.
Well, hold on. There's one line that Ron Wright has that popped me. So see if you, when you listen to it, see if you're going to pick the same one that I picked.
Okay, I think I know which one it is. So let's play it for the people. That way they can enjoy it in case they are not really watching. Because I know a lot of people actually aren't even watching it along with us. They're kind of just listening to it. So they get the effects of the promos.
You know how I'm always telling you that our fans are morons? Well, you're proving it.
No, that's not true. Quit insulting the good people of the Smoky Mountains.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dutch Mantel, and you're not. But right now, my special guest, ladies and gentlemen, let's give a big North Carolina welcome to the Dirty White Boy, the new reigning Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion. And White Boy, I want to congratulate you. I want to be one of the first to congratulate you on your outstanding win. Can I just touch that belt? Woo! You're hot, baby. You're hot. And Ron Wright, you've got your dream come true, and I would just like you to tell the fans at home your comments right now.
Well, I tell you, it's been a rough life. I had to get up out of my hospital bed to come over here to make sure they didn't rob that man that belt. And I say one thing, Dirty White Boy, he's coming around. He's got me off of that old cheap generic heart medicine and got me on the real stuff. My heart's getting a little stronger. And we're getting money in the bank now to have this hip implant surgery. And it won't be no time to this Dirty White Boy. And I'll tell you, especially since we've got this big heavyweight championship belt here, you know, this thing brings us in a lot of money. I'll have that hip surgery and I'll be back on my feet and probably be up there able to kick somebody's head off when they go to mess with my man up there. I'm just tickled to death and so happy I can't hardly stand it. But I still have to carry my heart monitor this in case.
Yeah,
you know, I do
him,
a
yeah.
lot of praying to the good Lord not to let me have no more of these bells.
Right.
But, you know, I can't control that, but I hope we're getting them under control.
All right. Now, White Boy, let me ask you right now. A lot of people saying a lot of bad things about you. What do you think the future holds for the Dirty White Boy?
The future holds for the Dirty White Boy nothing but greatness. That's all that is coming my way. And that's all that's coming Mr. Wright's way. Now, Ron, I made you a promise that I would get this title, and I've got it. Now we're going to have all your operations. They can cut you from stem to stern, and before you know it, you're going to be out of that chair. And another thing, I'm not going to be like the former champion Primetime Brian Lee. I'm going to be a fighting champion. The kind of champion that will go against such people as Ronnie Garvin, Paul Orndorff, the Rock and Roll Express, the Heavenly Bodies, the Fantastic. It doesn't make one bit of difference who you stick in that ring against me, because the bottom line is, when I walk out, I will still walk out the Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion. And Dutch, I'd just like to say one thing. It's been a pleasure and an honor being out here with you on your program.
Thank you very much. But let me ask you one question before you go. What is your reflection on giving Tim Horner a championship match? He's been bumping his gums. What do you think about Tim Horner?
Well, Tim Horner, I hate to tell you, son, but you're not in the top category that it takes to get a shot at this title. So I don't see you getting a shot no time in the future. I'm sorry, son. You haven't proved nothing to me.
All right, there you had it, fans. The Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright giving their also their unbiased opinions on the heavyweight championship scene right here in Smoky Mountain. Fans, don't go away. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
That was great.
Okay, so there were lots of lines that popped.
Yeah.
I had one in particular.
Okay.
Which one got you the biggest there?
The best? That thing that really had me come unglued?
Yeah.
Oh, it was the one about when he praying to the good Lord, because it's nothing like a heel who does dastardly tactics to talk about the good Lord and praise the Lord. That was mine on that one.
Well, you could argue that some of the biggest heels in the history of everything were out there praying to the good Lord.
But of course.
But mine was at the very beginning when he said it's been a rough life. And that heart monitor, it's a good thing they didn't close up on that. But, dude, we got Ron off the cheap shit when it comes to his pharmaceuticals. That
right.
Motherfucker's on top of the world. Fucking Dirty White Boy says he can get cut from stem to stern now. And top it off, Dirty White Boy is an excellent judge of wrestling character when he says that, sorry, bud, but you're not the sorry, Tim, but you're not in the number one contender spot.
I tend to agree with him at that. That's the funny part. I like that, man. Dirty White Boy is on it. I mean, he is – you see why he deserved to be the champion at that time. He cuts great promos. He is great in the ring. It's still hard to believe when you look at him that, fuck, they made him T.L. Hopper in the WWF. Just – that was solid. Ron Wright is the greatest. James E. Barnett on Twitter is going to love that one, I know, once he hears it. So it just some very, very entertaining stuff, and very much enjoy that promo from those two. You know, you can't go wrong. Yeah, here's the thing about that promo. You got three of the best talkers in the promotion right there in one sitting with Dutch, Dirty White Boy, and Ron Wright. You got three
Absolutely.
Of the best. So just some really good stuff. So we go to the next match. It's Robbie Eagle versus Primetime Brian Lee. God bless Bob Cottle as the match starts. Cottle tells Dutch that Dutch and Robert Fuller must be members of the Mutual Admiration Society. The sugar was dropping from you guys' mouth as you complimented each other. Now, if you remember in the previous match, Fuller came out and did commentary with Dutch, and I mean, they were goo-gooing and gaga-ing all over each other and in love with each other. And I gotta tell you, Doc, Bob Cottle is really firing back at Dutch these days.
He's had enough of this shit.
Now, he went through a stage where he would kind of laugh at Dutch whenever Dutch would pop him because Dutch was trying to mess with him. But now he's to the point where he's like, nah, Dutch, no, you two. I mean, it was funny when he said it. You two sound like you're members of the Mutual Admiration Society. The sugar was dropping from you guys' mouth as you complimented each other. And I thought that was great. You got to add anything else there?
Well, I just think – I think I have – my first question is, this is our first time to see Robbie Eagle, is it not?
Yes, and I believe he follows us on Twitter as The Stro.
Well, that's because his... Robbie Eagle's biggest claim to fame, although some might think it was being Robbie Eagle in the Smoky Mountain area, was actually that later on in late day WCW, very late 90s, he was the Maestro.
Right. So, yeah, he follows me on Twitter, and I would probably say, I know he's friends with Bobby Blaze. If we ever wanted him to come on a show for Smoky Mountain related stuff, I'm sure he would be willing to do it. So that's I'm not promising anything or when, but yes, The Stro is on Twitter, so go follow him. I forget his exact handle though. But yeah, go ahead, Doc. Sorry about that.
I was done.
Okay, my apologies. Dutch, as we keep going, Dutch claims that Bob Cottle does the same thing when he talks to his friends. We're talking about the Mutual Admiration Society comment that Bob Cottle had just, you know, threw on Dutch Mantel. That Dutch, you know, Bob Cottle does the same thing whenever his friends are out there. And you know what? He probably does. It's a quick match. Primetime Brian Lee hits the cancellation and gets the win on Robbie Eagle as he hits his finisher. And then the guy who attacked Primetime Brian Lee at Fire on the Mountain, the Mystery Man, the unknown attacker, hits the ring. He lays out Primetime Brian Lee and hits the road just as quick as he came in and attacked. Cottle says as we go to the commercial, "Who the heck is that guy?"
He's the Mongolian Mauler, jackass.
He's the Mongolian Mauler, but even then, you know, you just have a name for the face. You really don't know who he is and why he's all of a sudden attacking Primetime Brian Lee. You know, is he the guy with the hit on him? Is he the one putting up the posters around the venues that they go to? We don't know any of that at this point. So you got anything else, Doc, before we head over to the main event of today's show?
No, sir.
All right. We head to the main event. It is Paul Orndorff versus Ronnie Garvin. And Cottle and Dutch say something really great, and it is true as this match starts. First off, for me, this is 1992. We're still 4 years away from the heat of the Monday Night Wars when these types of matches were given away on free TV. Would you agree with what I'm saying there, Doc?
This was as rare as finding a person in that crowd with a full set of teeth.
Okay, there you go. Insulting the good people. It's hard to overstate how incredibly rare that this was during that time period where you got a main event that went a good distance, a good bit of time, two guys, two over guys. You just did not usually give away good free matches like this on TV.
Well, and I had thought that this was going to be the match from the King of the Mountain or Fire on the Mountain, and it wasn't. This was actually in the Avery County gym, so we're running this back too.
Yes.
So you got these two legends, a former world champion and the guy who was at main event of WrestleMania 1 in a high school gym on free TV. This is a big deal.
Exactly. A big deal. Not only that, I mean, you're talking about Orndorff, you know, he was in WrestleMania 1, but you got former NWA world champion Ronnie Garvin, whether you think he, you know, deserved it or not during that time period. Ronnie Garvin and Ric Flair had some outstanding matches during that time. So you got a former NWA world champ, and you got someone who headlined and was in the main event of WrestleMania, Paul Orndorff. That's pretty damn big. And like you said, a high school gym. So anyway, I thought there were a few moments in this match that were good, where Garvin teased the pile driver on Orndorff and the fans went nuts. You know, then Orndorff goes to hit for his and the fans were going nuts again. It's slow paced, but these two guys, they're just working. They're having a solid old school Southern wrestling match that, you know, we grew up loving. There's some near falls. None of the near falls were from the guys who were taking another guy's finisher. Let me fucking say that. None of that shit here. It's just near falls from, you know, a variety of moves and bumps that the guys were taking. Doc, what are your thoughts so far?
I think it only feels slow if the guys don't know how to work and don't know what they're doing. So to me, it didn't feel very slow at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying by today's standards.
Oh, well, yeah, but fuck today.
Think it's slow. I should clarify when I make that statement. So Orndorff is stopped by the ref twice when attempting the pile driver. Orndorff is really pissed when they get to this moment in the match, and he shoves referee Mark Curtis like Gordy shoved that fan in the Sportatorium in the 80s and sent them flying eight rows back. I mean, literally, Mark Curtis is sent to the next zip code here. Garvin then rolls up Orndorff. Curtis goes for the pin and counts to one, but then decides in the middle of the count that he's going to DQ Orndorff. I thought that was a little screwy, but yeah, what the fuck ever. I just figured, you know, why didn't you DQ him when he shoved you into the next zip code? But I don't want to criticize too much because it is Smokey Mountain. Doc, what were your thoughts here?
My first thought is that Orndorff is working and selling his ass off in this match.
Yes, he is.
And then technically that was the right call from the rule book, but I just think that the 1-2-3 would have set that crowd off even more. So, yeah, I agree it was a little weird, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah, it was a little weird, but it is what it is, you know. They get the win. Garvin gets the DQ win. So, again, nobody got pinned. It's just a DQ win, which tells you that it's probably going to keep going. You know what I'm saying?
Nothing is settled, but we had fun.
Exactly. Doc, do you got anything else before we end or go over to the next promo or the next segment, as I should call it?
No, ma'am.
All right, no, ma'am. But you know what? Go blow yourself. So we got next Killer Kyle and the Stud Stable. And, again, this is promoting upcoming show, trying to talk to people into the building. I know a lot of times I put these at the very end, but because it's Cornette and Killer Kyle and because the Stud Stable does such a good job, I want to play this one for you.
Get ready in Beckley, West Virginia. Smoky Mountain Wrestling coming your way at the Raleigh County Armory on Sunday, September the 6th. A special time will ring the bell at 7 p.m. The Bratton Twins will also be on this big wrestling card. Also, a return match. Two referees as Paul Orndorff meets the hands of Stone Ronnie Garvin. A six-man grudge tag match. The Heavenly Bodies, Killer Kyle, meets Primetime Brian Lee, Tim Horner, and Dixie Dynamite.
You know, it seems like the last time there in Beckley, my man Killer Kyle about half beat Dixie Dynamite to death. So what happens but Brian Lee sticks his nose in? Brian Lee's got enough problems with $10,000 out on his head. Now Tim Horner's a friend of his. They're getting the whole gang together. So I said, fine. Six-man tag. The Heavenly Bodies and my man the Killer going up against Brian Lee, Tim Horner, and Dixie Dynamite. We're going to settle a lot of things right there at the same time. And one is Brian Lee, $10,000 if we put you out of commission. I can't think of anything better I'd like to do than make 10 grand for coming to Beckley. That's about what it's worth.
Also in the main event, we have a stretcher match. One man must be carried out. The Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson take on the Stud Stable. Robert Fuller, the Tennessee Stud, and Jimmy Golden.
You know, I want to ask you one thing, Mr. Rainey. This so-called hot stuff team called the Rock and Roll Express is supposed to have all these big-time wins all around the country. Since they've been to Smoky Mountain Wrestling, they haven't won one match against me and the Tennessee Stud right here, brother. They've gone down every night. Now we're coming to a match where they want to challenge us to get into the ring, to where we beat each other down till nobody can get up. They put you on a stretcher, carry you out to the ambulance, and carry you off to the hospital. I'm going to tell you something right now, boys. This is your last day in Beckley, West Virginia. You come on down, we're going to show you who the real men are.
I'll tell you what I think about it, Jimmy. I think it's darn right excellent. I think it's the greatest thing that ever happened, because when I go to Beckley, West Virginia, get off the jet, I'm already feeling terrible, and I'm ready for a fight anyway. You boys want to ride a stretcher out in Beckley? Climb your tail through there with a Tennessee Stud, because you're going to do it.
Man, Doc, I got to say, I want to hear your thoughts. Go ahead.
The Stud Stable continues to impress.
Yeah.
Because when you listen to a promo with them and Cornette and you walk away thinking about the Stud Stable, that means they've done something.
Yeah.
And Fuller thinks it's downright excellent that they're getting ready to put a whooping on those boys.
He's on it. It's beautiful, man. It's beautiful. I just think Fuller, you know, we joke about him being Colonel Parker in WCW, but like, he's basically Colonel Parker, but it's turned up to the right notch for me. And I don't know if that's coming across the right way when I say that. Like, I'm not trying to say he's the same person, but, or maybe I should say it like this. Maybe if Colonel Parker, even in that stupid ass gimmick they threw on him, would have been more Robert Fuller when he cut promos, we probably wouldn't have the same bad taste that we have about him being Colonel Parker.
See, I think Colonel Parker was a buffoon, and Fuller.
Well, I do.
And
but
Fuller is a fighting, fucking, drinking, old school man that'll whoop your ass just for looking at him wrong.
What I mean is, I wish that when he was Colonel Parker, they would let him promo in the way that Robert Fuller promos.
But see, that's never going to happen, and you're arguing things that aren't going to happen because he went to a corporation that ran wrestling, and they don't know what that looks like, so fuck them.
And they made him a plantation owner.
Right.
Jesus Christ. So we go from that segment, which was a really good one, with Cornette and the Stud Stable, to the Ronnie Garvin promo. Now, this is after the match. So we're coming back from commercial. After the match, Ronnie Garvin cuts a promo, and let's listen to what he has to say.
I know you didn't want to win it that way. Bob, you wanted to take him out.
This thing is getting out of hand completely. First, I was involved in Smoky Mountain Wrestling because they called me. I was very flattered that they asked the people to write in who they wanted for Brian Lee's partner, who they thought the toughest man was, and letters and letters and letters came in saying Ronnie Garvin. Well, thank you, fans. I was very pleased, very flattered. It's a great honor. But I was almost retired from wrestling, and I came in to help Brian Lee because there was a lot of bad things happening to him, and I thought it was going to be a one-night affair, and that was it. But Paul Orndorff, you've stepped on my toes, you've stepped on my egos, and you've insulted me, and you're bragging too much, and you're insulting the people, and I'm going to pile drive you for life.
Right there from Ronnie Garvin fans next week. What a great main event we
have. All right, Doc, what'd you think, man? That was pretty solid, but I'll let you weigh in.
I disagree. I think Garvin may be the former world champion, but he fits in great with most of the baby faces in Smoky Mountain. I'm
going to
pile drive you for life. What? What does that mean?
You just made an argument that when Ricky Morton cuts his promos, if you take it word for word, it wouldn't make much sense. You're not using that same logic right here.
So you're saying Garvin cuts as good a promo with the way he's great as
Right.
Well, then that's the problem too.
Okay. Well,
we're going to agree to disagree right here, pal.
I don't hate it. I just think that he has good emotion. I mean, it's not that I love it, but I said that wrong. It's not that I love it. I just think he's got good emotion here. It's better than Tim Horner.
Okay.
And I actually like when he said he was going to pile drive you for life. Whatever. It's
okay.
Wrestling.
It is. I take it very seriously.
Okay. A stupid son of a bitch. we're going to give out some disability checks. But before we do so, I want to say thank you to everyone who subscribed to the show. You know, all of our listeners. If this is your first time, go back and start from episode number one of our Smoky Mountain Review podcast and check it out and learn all about Smoky Mountain as we've developed and come along for this ride. That's the great thing about the Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast is if you start on episode number one, you know, it's episodic and it's not like the current product where it's stale. You will be able to go from episode one all the way through and catch up with us. And most of them are only about an hour, or some of them a little bit more. While you're subscribing on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, or wherever you're at, especially on iTunes, please give us a 5-star review. We greatly appreciate it. And those 5-star reviews help us out with our, you know, the Apple gods, as Brian Lass always says, like the 5-star reviews and like the reviews. And please write a comment on the show. We definitely would appreciate it. And follow us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. I'm at @Mike504Saints. Hardbody Harper's not with us, but he is at @CJHHudat. Give us a follow and enjoy. And we post the shows there as soon as they're up. That way you'll be notified that they are ready to go. Now, I want to say thank you to all of our patron members. The patrons have been growing greatly lately. There's so many of you all out there, and we really appreciate your patron membership, so to say. I mean, William Shepherd, for one, coming through with a nice patron membership. Dan, Jason, Dan V, David DeVries, Tim, Wayne G, thank you, Twit Dust, Matt Kovacs, Boone Hauer, Mondi, Martin Howell, thank you all for your patron membership. We really appreciate it. If you aren't a patron, we kick out 8 free shows a month. Even if you just like this one, it's 4 free shows a month. Look, it's as little as $1 or $2 a month. There's some other options out there as far as the $9 option goes. There's even a $20 option, which allows you to cut a 5-minute promo on Doc Turner where he has to eat shit and enjoy it. Who doesn't want to do that? You actually get a couple of T-shirts as well whenever you choose the $9 or $20 option. So, you know, just keep that in mind while you're considering becoming a patron member. But if you don't want to contribute that much, no problem. That's why we did the $1 or $2 a month for all the people who enjoy our show. So consider it. Just go to mikemills.podbean.com and click the Become a Patron Member button, and you can become a patron and pledge your $1 or $2 a month or more, and we definitely would appreciate it. Doc, let's hand out some disability checks. Go ahead. I'll let you go first, man.
Well, you got a hellified main event tonight with two, Hall of Famers, regardless of Garvin's ability to cut a good promo. Great match in the high school gym. Lots of good promos, lots of good shit talking going on here. Solid episode, not the best ever, but certainly solid and an enjoyable 50 minutes of fun. I'm going to give it a 7.0.
That's incredible, because I got a 7 as well. Same, I mean, literally same exact things. It, you know, you had the main event that was a solid one for television during that time. Again, I must repeat, this is 1992, and we're giving away Paul Orndorff and Ronnie Garvin on free TV. Just think about that. Just think about that. So I had to give that one of the reasons. The other reason was I thought Bob Caudle and Dutch were on it. Their, you know, banter back and forth was incredible. Bob Caudle telling Dutch, you two must be members of the Mutual Admiration Society. You've got sugar dripping from your mouth. I love that. That was a great line from Bob Caudle, throwing back some shade at Dutch Mantell and his love for Robert Fuller, as they called one of the matches. And then, hey, you got the dirty fucking white boy out there with Ron fucking Wright, and that was tremendous. So I had to go a 7 as well, man. That's crazy that we're right on the same, you know.
You're finally learning how to grade these episodes correctly.
You can go blow yourself again. Government Cheese Award time. From Shard Johnson, longtime member. Shard, I hadn't heard from you in a while. I hope everything's all right, but we definitely appreciate you with the Government Cheese Award. So the Government Cheese Award goes to a good or bad segment each and every week on our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. I'll go first. Doc, you know who I'm gonna give this shit to. It's no secret. Ron Wright gets it, because he talks about his heart monitor that wasn't really a heart monitor. I don't know what the hell that thing was. He talks about being off of the generic medicine and on the good stuff. I'm popping myself as I say that. And he's praising God and thanking the good Lord as the dastardly heel that he is. So Ron Wright gets my government cheese of the week. I had to give it to him. Doc, who are you giving yours to?
I'm going to go in a different direction. I'm going to give my government cheese to a guy that, you know, a couple of months ago I was saying I wasn't that huge a fan of back in the day. But the more we go over this with the fine tooth comb, the more I'm appreciating and really, really getting on board with how great this guy was and the little things. And I thought he showed a lot of that today in the main event. And that's Paul Orndorff. I think he worked his ass off in that main event. And so he gets the government cheese.
He worked his ass off. And I'll repeat what I said at the beginning of the show. This is 1992. I don't know about – I'm pretty sure the high school that you went to did not have air conditioning in its gym.
Oh, we absolutely did, bro.
You had air conditioning in your gym?
You're goddamn right we did.
God damn, we didn't. Shit, that's unreal.
I got my come up. Like in middle school, you didn't get yours till like you were 36, but
dude, I didn't get my come up until I was probably 25-ish. I don't know. Right. I had a real good job by the time I was, you know, 22. I wasn't like you trying to go after a PhD. I was actually out in the workforce making some good money, you know. So yeah, just want to throw that little bit at you right there. But anyway, yeah, we didn't have AC in our high school gym, man. Our high school gym was brutal. Oh Jesus! So I can only imagine working in this high school gym. This aired on August 22nd, but I believe it was recorded early August. You know, it was sweltering hot wherever.
Swampy.
I mean, just North Carolina. You got that freaking humidity coming off the fucking ocean. Oh, Jesus. I can't even imagine how hot. And then again, who knows? I forget what part of North Carolina. This was on the border, wasn't it? Didn't you look that up?
Yeah, off the coast, like inland. Okay.
So we're inland. Maybe the humidity isn't as bad. I'm speaking out there. But if anybody's listening that's from that area, shoot me a tweet. I'm just curious, you know, what it would be like in this high school gym around that time of year. I still got a feeling it was pretty fucking swampy up in that bitch, and it was pretty damn hot.
I bet all those hillbillies' crotches smell like fucking onions.
It's so mean, dude.
All those Wandas and Tammys sitting there on that just letting it bake, fucking clam bake.
Wanda's and Tammy's smelling like clams. Lisa's
just Barbara's sitting there having a clam bake in their fucking britches.
Barbara, Tammy.
God damn Lisa. It. Barbara's like, I'm going to tear that up tonight. Linda. Peels off the fucking Jordache jeans and a fucking just waft of onion and stinky-ass clams comes out.
I got a name for you for that area if you're talking about it. Elaine.
Nah. You don't know.
No, no Elaine's there.
No. Barbara's even kind of an old one, but Tammy, back in 1992, Tammy and Lisa were fucking roaming around for dick after they fucking steamed up their clams.
At the wrestling. Speaking of which, hey, we're recording this on February 24th. I thought it was funny on the Jim Cornette Experience that aired this week. I forget the number. Jim Cornette talks about the meeting he had with the Smoky Mountain talent about servicing the rats again. Just wanted to point that out to you. I saw Mullet of Morton tweeted that out. And I was listening to it.
Those
like,
guys
yeah.
probably looked out in that crowd and said, fucking Jim, you go service them. I ain't doing that shit.
Oh, boy. Well, we've come in close to an end of another great episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast. If you haven't already done so, like I said, subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast from, whether it's iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, TuneIn Radio. And please go to our website, mikemills.podbean.com. Become a patron. Even if you don't become a patron, if you shop on Amazon, click that Amazon referral link at the top of the page and use our Amazon referral link, bookmark it. Every time you make a purchase, it's not costing you anything extra. We get a little bit small kickback, and it's really, really helpful. It helps me with paying the host for the server that we do the show through. So I would appreciate that if you did that. It really, really means a lot to us if you do that for us. And then shout out to the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing. Got to mention them each and every week. They always plug us. So thank you very much for all the plugs that you always throw us. And Doc, I think that's it, man. You got anything else? Hopefully Harper will be back next week. We'll have to get with
him. We'll see, man. Hopefully we can peel him off that bitch and get him back in the studio.
This is the God honest truth. Harper literally texted me 5 minutes before the show and said that he couldn't make it. He had a broad coming over, and the broad came before me and Doc Turner. Do you blame him, Doc?
If she's hanging out with Harper, she's probably not coming at all, but that's a different story.
I think I covered all of the promos from this week on this week's episode. If I did not get to all the promos, I will play whatever is left at the end. So you may have a couple of promos coming up. You may not. We'll see. But anyway, for Mike and Doc and Hardbody Harper, who is not here on this week, hopefully he'll be back next week. You know what we always say when we get out of here? Book it, bitch.
They are very close friends of mine. And talking about close friends, Robert Fuller has joined us.
Wait a minute. I'll give him my microphone. Hold on a minute.
Okay,
I'll give it to him.
Step right out. Fans, let me tell you right now, Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golan have joined me at the table right here, at the announcing table. And I'm sure, Robert, glad to have you out here.
Thank you very much, Dutch. You know, I saw these boys creating the stirs they normally do, coming out here trying to stir these boys up with rock and roll. I know more about rock and roll than they'll ever figure out. You know, I came out here, I just had to tell you, you're not going to be on this program long because the Olympic Committee is going to be calling you because the way you score this thing is beautiful, Dutch.
Thank you very much. Now, Robert, I want to ask you and Jimmy, how long, your first meeting at Fire on the Mountain, you left these boys laying right in the middle of the ring.
Exactly
what are
right.
your future plans for the rock and roll?
Well, the future plans for them to see them out of here. You know, I don't think the people care for the rock and roll. They talk about the reunion, the great reunion taking place. There's a great reunion taking place, and everybody knows about it. It's the Stud Stable reunion. It's Jimmy Golden and Robert Fuller taking over. You grade this right here, Dutch, you're not going to be able to say one time these boys did any better than a two all night long, I guarantee you that.
Okay, Robert, I'll tell you, I'm going to rate this right here. I'm going to rate this, I'm going to let you hold this up. Do you agree with that figure?
I think it's a little high, but what the heck?
Okay, if we can put the camera on this is Robert Fuller's rating of the rock and roll. I'll let you be an Olympic judge right here. Can you see it? 2.7, 2.7 for the rock and roll. And obviously,
That's good, Dutch, it's a little high for him, but still, that's good.
Okay, now, they are four times United States World Tag Team Champion. Does that impress you and Jimmy?
You know something, that don't impress me at all. You know what? It's not the has-been I'm worried about. It's what you can do today. Like I said before, if you're going to have a big ruckus about a reunion, then let's talk about the greatest thing to ever happen to these old Smoky Mountains over here, and that's the Stud Stable of Jimmy Golden and the Tennessee Stud. You see the double teaming taking place in here now. You can take some off your pointage there because double teaming is not going to get it. And that's all these boys do all night long is double team.
Well, see, that's obviously, you see, they work that way. They cheat. And see, everybody thinks of rock and roll. They don't cheat, but they cheat everybody every move they make, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're in the ring with them,
Right away, you're going to figure it out, because here they come, two at a time, all the time. You know, I like to get in the ring heads up. Jimmy does, too. Take his man on heads up. What do we got to do? Fighting two of them continuously. I've never been double-teamed so much in all my life, and I've had it, Dutch, I'm going to tell you. I've had it with these boys.
Well, see, I think we're talking about the Rock and Roll four-time world tag team champion. You see, not a lot is said about the Stud Stable, the Continental title, the Southern title, and all the other titles you've held.
Look at that double team. I'm out of here. This is sickening me, Dutchman.
Okay, Robert, thanks for coming.
This is the Rock and Roll Express.
Well, there you heard it, fans. Robert Fuller giving his unbiased opinion of the Rock and Roll Express.
Of the Dirty White Boy, I think this man right here is going to regain that championship and do it very quickly. By the way, let me say this. You and Robert Fuller, you two guys must belong to some mutual admiration society. The sugar was just dripping from your mouths over here as you guys tried to compliment each other. Dutch, I never thought you were that type of an individual.
Well, I see you out here talking to Tim Horner and you talking to Brian Lee, and you're sucking up to them. I see you doing that, Bob. But Robert Fuller is a friend of mine, and I make no bones about it. Jimmy Golden, too, and a Dirty White Boy. Those are my friends.
Yeah, I think that's got to say something about the company you keep when you talk about friends like that. I cannot imagine that you, out in public and on television, want to claim those guys as friends.